distinction between perception and conception. Only ideas are conceived. This is the second statement. And third statement is, ideas are universal. The question is, from where do the particulars arise? And this is the question which Plato finds it difficult to answer. And if he finds it difficult, we must see how difficult must be for us. But this is where the problem lies. From where do the particulars arise? What is the relationship between universals and particulars? According to Plato, there is nothing in the universal which can be regarded as the origin of the particular. If there was something in the universal which could originate particulars, he could have said, because of this principle, which is in the universal, particulars could arise. But there is nothing in the universal which could germinate particulars. So he cannot say that particulars are manifestations of universal. You know, when we repeat philosophical statements several times, the essential points of philosophy begin to be grasped. That is why there is a need always in philosophy to repeat some very important statements. They may take 1 month, but it is worthwhile to spend 1 month repeating the statement. You must have seen that he repeated already 3 times the statement. But once again, we are now doing it and seeing more clearly. Where is the difficulty? If particulars were inside universals, then particulars could be manifested out of universals. But universals are universals. On the other hand, we do find that every particular has something of universal. Every particular cat, a cat has catiness in it. So universal is in the particular. Every chair has chairness in it. Every human being has in him or in her humanness. Every lion has lionness. In philosophy, you should always keep your data before you. Data. What are the data? Every philosopher should know what is the meaning of data, because without data, no philosophical thinking is possible. Data are given facts. In philosophical thinking, you should always go back to the given facts. Because philosophy is an attempt to explain the given facts. A good philosopher is one who has before him, if possible, totality of facts. The trouble is that nobody in general has got totality of facts before him. This is the problem. If all the facts are available to you, then it is easy to arrive at an explanation of all the facts. But we are in possession of a few facts. What happens is that we are in possession of a few facts. And then we strain ourselves to find other facts, even from the available facts. A few facts are available, others are not available, so we imagine what will be the other facts, or we infer what will be the other facts. And this process of inference is central to philosophical thinking. So now what Plato does is that you start actually from particular facts. There is a fact that there are particulars in this world. It's a general fact. There are particulars in the world. What's the meaning of particular? A philosopher should ask itself, what is the meaning of particular? Let us see if you can define it. What is the particular? How is cattiness different from a cat? A cat is particular, cattiness is universal. How do you distinguish between the two?
They have a bit of their own.
Good. But your first statement, particulars are parts of the universal. And Plato says no. That is the important point, exactly. He says universals have nothing in them which can originate the particulars. So if you say universals are part of the particulars, then there is a problem. It's not an accurate definition. But it's a good effort you make, because there is universal in the particular. So it might seem that universals are part of the particulars, or particulars are part of the universal. They may appear to be so. But Plato says that universals are universals. And there is nothing in them which can germinate particulars. On the other hand, it's a fact that every particular has universality in it. But why does he not say simply that every universal has particularities also in it? Very easy. No, very easy answer, but he's such a great thinker, he doesn't accept it. No. There is such a distinction between the universal and the particular, the gulf seems to be so great, he doesn't do it. That is the mark of a great philosopher, no concession in thinking, just to overcome a difficulty, as we normally do. A difficulty arises, we make a concoction, we make a fiction, and we try to surmount the difficulty. That's not a philosopher. That is the greatness of Plato. If it was possible for him to point out, look, in the universal there is germ of the particular. But then you have to say, how did the germ come in the universal? This is the subtle point. That is why he said, philosophy is a study of subtleties. This is a subtlety. And it's a good example. You know, Mother said, an important part of education is to train the students in thinking on subtleties. And that is where education really reaches its great climax. Normally we always think in gross terms. This is black and white, this is big and small. These are gross thoughts. But when you come to this question of universal in particular, and the relationship, you've come to subtlety of thought. What is the relationship between the universe and the particular? When you find the universality is in the particular, but is particular in the universal? That is the subtle thing. Every particular has in it universality, but has universal in it any particularity. And Plato says that if you examine the universal, you don't find in it any particularity. Universals are universals. They are independent, they are self-existent themselves. There is nothing like particularity in it. That is why now he is obliged how to explain them the particular. This is a fact. Particulars exist, there is no doubt about it. There is no doubt that universals exist, he has proved. That in every particular object you find universality. By a simple example of cat and cattiness. Universals exist. They even said that if you want to find out a further proof of universality, he says there are only three concepts: similarity, universality, and existence. You remember we had done it last time. According to Plato, there are three important ideas. Which are not perceived, but which are conceived. Similarity is not perceived, it is conceived. Universality is not perceived, but conceived. Existence is not perceived, but conceived. So this being the fact, now let us say what is the fact. The fact is that there are particulars, first of all, there are particulars. This is the first fact, which is perceived by us. Everywhere in the world we perceive particulars. The world as we see it, this flower is distinct from this flower. This is particular, this is particular. This body is different from this microphone. This is particular, this is particular. This chair is different from this chair. This is particular, this is particular. And the whole world you see everywhere, you see only particulars. They are perceived. But in the particulars you discover universals, which are not perceived but conceived. Cattiness is not perceived. What you perceive is a cat. But cattiness is conceived. So universals are conceived to be present in the particulars. Now these are the two facts. Particulars are present to our perception, and we find in particulars the universals. Now, when he began to reflect on the universals, he found that universals are self-existent. What is the meaning of self-existence? That's right. They exist on their own. They don't depend upon particulars. This cat may die or that cat may die, but cattiness remains. This chair may be destroyed or that chair may be destroyed, but chairness remains. The chairness does not depend upon this chair or that chair or that chair, or even if all the chairs are removed, the idea of chairness remains. Therefore, universals are self-existent. So universals which are self-existent, and now Plato goes to subtlety, do they have in them any germ of particulars? No. That is where the problem lies. What is then the origin of the particulars? If particulars do not have origin in the universals, then where is the origin of the particulars? And Plato has never answered this question satisfactorily. But what is the answer, even though unsatisfactory? What is the answer? The answer is that according to Plato, there is, apart from the universals, which are self-existent, there is what may be called matter. Universals are ideas, but apart from universals, there is matter. But is matter self-existent? Then the problem will be very easy. If matter were self-existent, then you can say there is matter and there are ideas. And the two come together and we see the whole world. It is very easy to explain. But Plato is a very great philosopher. He doesn't want to solve the problem just like by saying, taking an easy recourse. No. If he were to say that matter is self-existent, then he would have been obliged to answer the question, what then is the difference between idea and matter? Because ideas are self-existent. If matter is also self-existent, then what is the difference between the two? So he doesn't answer simply saying that, well, all right, these two are self-existent, they come together and the world is produced. What we are now doing is a true philosophical exercise. You can see that after 3 years of our search, we are now coming to the grip with philosophical thinking. It takes a long time to arrive at a pure philosophical thinking. Gradually, little by little, we are arriving at the crux of the philosophical thinking. No escape from any problem that may arise. And you have to be subtler than the subtlety, so that there is no lapse in your steps.